Welcome to the Senior Zone,
where we connect older adults with the organizations and resources that serve them.
The Senior Zone's goal,
while working with local and national partners,
aims to educate, empower, enlighten, entertain, and engage older adults with the tools and information to stay healthy, happy, and secure.
Great guests, health tips, upcoming events, and useful information.
So get ready to take notes
and have some fun.
It's now time
for the Senior Zone.
And we've got another show full of useful and relevant information for you, our seniors and their caregivers, this morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Senior Zone, where it's our mandate to discover the topics and discuss the critical issues and concerns facing seniors today. Uniting seniors 50 and over with tips and directions to senior programs and services, tools and resources, events, advice, and cultural tidbits, the Senior Zone hopes to inspire, impact, influence, and improve the quality of life for older adults everywhere. Why? Simply because we care. The call-in number for today's show is 240-638-5430. Or to follow us online, go to theseniorzone.com. Well, in today's first segment, we have a first-time visitor to the Senior Zone, Miss Holly Kelly. She is the author of Sunrise and Sunsets. It's a captivating new book on final affairs planning and her groundbreaking and unique approach to it. In our second segment, we're going to chat with the former Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, Mr. Anthony Brown, and get his take, his views, his positions, and his policy on the issues that matter most to seniors. But as we always do here on the Senior Zone, allow me to thank those that keep us doing what we love to do here on the Senior Zone. And first up are our good friends over at AARP, Legal Counsel for the Elderly. They provide free legal advice, assistance, and referrals to all district residents 60 years of age and older. So whether it's wills, power of attorneys, landlord-tenant disputes, estate planning, and so much more, LCE is there for you and at no cost. Give them a call at 202-434-2120. That's 202-434-2120. Next up, the D.C. Office on Aging, under the leadership of Executive Director Laura Newland, they develop and carry out a comprehensive and coordinated system of health, education, employment, and social services for the district's older adults, persons living with disabilities, and their caregivers. The D.C. Office on Aging, their number is 202-724-5622, 202-724-5622. Last, but certainly not least, Right at Home. Right at Home is the leader in the in-home senior care industry. Their trained caregivers provide the best in in-home care for seniors and disabled adults who need some assistance to maintain their independence. If you're looking for the best in in-home care, either for yourself or your loved one, give Right at Home a call. Their number is 301-255-0066, 301-255-0066. Whether this marks your first time tuning in or if you've been a regular listener to the Senior Zone for the past 3+ years, we say thank you and hope this won't be your last time traveling through. Tell a friend, tell your pastor, tell your neighbor, check us out on Facebook. Just tell any and everybody about the Senior Zone. So let's get started. With me today, we have Miss Holly Kelly. How are you, Miss Kelly?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for letting me be on this great show.
Well, thank you so very much for tuning in or calling in this morning. I'm excited about, your book and the way you've crafted it and put it together. But first, allow me to properly introduce you to our listeners real quick. Ms. Holly Kelly is a gerontologist, a journalist, a fellow in thanatology, entrepreneur, and author of Sunrises and Sunsets, Final Affairs Forged with Flair, Finesse, and Functionality. Her unique and captivating new book has awakened the nation on final affairs planning with her groundbreaking and unique approach. From creating a bucket list, completing advanced directives, planning your own funeral, and writing your obituary, completing your family tree, to writing heartfelt letters to loved ones and so much more, Sunrises and Sunsets is both a unique and invaluable book aimed at helping readers take stock in every detail surrounding their own future destiny in a fundamental approach while leaving a written legacy and beautifully written roadmap for survivors. We are pleased again to welcome author of Sunrises and Sunsets, Ms. Holly Kelly. Again, good morning, ma'am.
Thank you. you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, good, good. We don't have a lot of time this morning, Holly, but after reading your book, I know I have to invite you back. But for now, please tell us more about the book, Sunrises and Sunset. What exactly is this book about, and what was your mission when you were writing it?
Well, the mission when I wrote the book was to help people plan for their departure now and reflect on their life, to grow personally and pave a well-celebrated life while leaving a beautifully written legacy. So my goals in the book were threefold. It was to encourage advanced care planning, something very important, with statistics way too low for this important matter, and to alleviate fears that we as a society and globally face about the end and about death and dying. And the third goal was certainly, and just as importantly, to inspire new found enthusiasm about living your best life now.
Yeah. You know, and those are three worthwhile goals in writing this book, and you really accomplished, you know, all three. So for those that don't have the book, and I do have the book, and thank you for sending me the book, what will readers find inside this book?
Themselves. They will find new types of discovery, and they will definitely find a way to live differently after they have worked the book. They'll learn a lot and grow a lot, and most importantly, the fears that they have would be alleviated through working the process of the book. And so it's a wonderful gift for each individual, but what a beautiful thing to do for your family, and they would be so incredibly grateful also for the work that you've done.
Yeah, you know, we talk about this, you know, every so often here on the Senior Zone, and it is so important to get your affairs in order. We know that death is inevitable. You know, we may delay. I notice in your book you have a quote from Benjamin Franklin: "We may delay, but time certainly will not delay." And your book helps remove all the anxieties that, you know, our loved ones, those that are left behind, that won't have to deal with, because they know exactly what our intentions, you know, are. But you do it in such a way that makes it kind of, as strangely as it may sound, makes it kind of fun.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because I recognize that this was not a subject that people would really be excited to get involved in. If I didn't have fun writing it, creating it, I wanted it to be something that would be a journey for them that they would enjoy. And most importantly, doing this so important area of personal business, which is complete, what I've defined as comprehensive advanced care planning. And so it was just really important to keep them flipping the pages.
Yeah. You know, my wife and I, we were kind of scanning through it a little bit, and we still have some things to get in order ourselves, you know, so I'm just putting myself out there. And as we were going through it, you know, we realized just how little even we are prepared. And we thought we were kind of, you know, on the spectrum where, you know, okay, we know what each other's intentions are, what we want, and where our affairs and business, you know, papers and et cetera, you know, are located. But even us, you know, we were bewildered a little bit that we don't have our affairs in the sort of order that this book guides us through.
Yes, and I mean, a lot of people feel the same way. They feel that if they've handled their legal and technical aspects of advanced care planning, that they're good to go. And I wanted this to be more than that, and I thought about, what do people need? What would I need? What would I need to even convey upon my passing? And so it grew to more of an emotional and a personal platform where people can handle so many different types of things that are all equally important in comprehensive advanced care planning. So I'm excited that you have done the parts that you've done, and that the book was able to share with you maybe some other areas you still want to continue on that planning.
Yeah, you know, in your book, we've all heard of having a bucket list of things that we want to do, you know, while we are still here. But in your book, you talk about kick the bucket list. What is kick the bucket list?
The kick the bucket list is kind of the reverse of the bucket list. The bucket list, of course, how you fulfill your dreams before you part. It is about living, and dying is the deadline. The bucket list is about dying, and living is the deadline, in that these are actions you want to implement before your passing so that you can pass with a peaceful conscience, and that you can live a peaceful life in the present. So it could be making amends, a long-held feud or grudge, perhaps even personal forgiveness or things in your life that aren't in order. There's some loose ends in your life that need to be handled. And so the kick the bucket really has the reader soul search in their life. Where do they have some areas that need to be cleaned up?
Yeah, you know, and it is so true about, you know, soul searching. When I was in that part of the book where we were, you know, you're talking about kick the bucket list, it did have me soul searching those areas within my life and how I've affected other people, good and bad. And you just want to shore up, clean up, you know, just resolve, put to rest, before. And so that's certainly an area that in other books, you know, they haven't really touched on that piece of it so much. But your book certainly does. Why is death such a subject matter that we don't want to talk about?
Well, I think mainly because we fall in love with life, and life is amazing, and we have so much love for those that we hold dear. And so it is challenging for us globally to think about that, you know, we would depart this wonderful existence known as life one day. And yet it is denied the planning aspects of it because even though we recognize that it's an absolute inevitable destiny for all living things. And so I think that it was just so important for me to get people to buy in and acknowledge and not ignore what is to come, and to not necessarily look at this book as a journey to, like, oh my goodness, I'm going to plan for dying, but more to be prepared that at any point in your life, if you have an untimely departure and in your younger years, or if you are working this book when you're older, regardless, you're prepared. And that was what was so important. And I think that we don't prepare because we have fear.
Yeah, yeah. And your book is a living and breathing, you know, document that just matures and it evolves with you. If you can, with the time that we have left, Ms. Kelly, tell our listeners what's in the book. I mean, what are we actually talking about, from advanced directives to, go ahead.
Okay. Well, they would certainly create their bucket list and their kick the bucket list. They share their life story and highlights and memories, which is so important. Share family lineage and family medical history. And with medical advancements, that's a great thing to archive. Family trees. They write their own obituary. They plan and orchestrate their own funeral. They write letters to loved ones, a magnificent soul-soothing aspect of the book. Do their advance directives, last will and testament, and it just goes on and on. Who to notify in the event of their passing, and it just really covers it from A to Z.
Yeah, you know, I don't promote a lot of stuff here on our show, but I have to say that, you know, this book, if you haven't already started thinking about your final affairs, this is a book to really have. And the book is called Sunrises and Sunsets, Final Affairs Forged with Flair, Finesse, and Functionality. It's comprehensive. It's delightful. It's user-friendly. And so that, you know, all of us can get through it. And you don't have to get through it all at once. Where can people find, you know, your book, Ms. Kelly?
Thank you for those kind words, Sean. That's so nice of you, and I appreciate it. They can visit my website, which is www.sunrisesandsunsetsbook.com. That's an A and D in the middle. So they can purchase autographed copies of the book there. The book went number one Amazon new release on February 3rd and sold out. So if you find that Amazon is sold out, please visit my website to purchase the book, or Barnes & Noble, or wherever fine books are sold.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for your time again. I have to have you back on this show. I really underestimated this because there's so much more we can talk about in your book. So expect a call from me, Kelly, sometime, you know, after the show. But again, I've been speaking with Miss Holly Kelly, author of Sunrises and Sunsets, Final Affairs Forged with Flair, Finesse, and Functionality. Her book can be found at sunrisesandsunsetsbook.com. That's Sunrises with an S, sunrisesandsunsetsbook.com. Holly, I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and have a blessed day.
Thank you. It's been my privilege.
Thank you so very much. Up next, we're going to talk with former Maryland Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown. We're going to get his views, his takes, his positions on a host of things that matter to our senior population. Still to come, Senior Spotlight of the Week and announcements. For now, here is We Were You There by Ron Brown.
Problems for several months and couldn't pay my rent. I explained the situation to my landlord, but he still says he's going to evict me. Is there anything I can do?
I gave out my personal information to someone over the phone who promised to lower my mortgage rate. I wish I hadn't fallen for that trick. Does that mean I'll lose my house?
Sadly, not having the resources for representation is a common reason many seniors are unable to protect themselves. For 40 years, Legal Counsel for the Elderly has been providing free legal services for D.C. seniors who can't afford their own. If you or someone you know is a D.C. resident 60 or older who needs legal help, please visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly. We're here to defend the rights of D.C. seniors because everyone is entitled to lawful benefits and fairness in the justice system. Visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly is a nonprofit charitable affiliate of AARP.
Good morning. We are back. This is the Senior Zone, and I'm your host, Sean Perry. With me this morning is the former Lieutenant Governor of the state of Maryland, Mr. Anthony Brown. Good morning, Mr. Brown.
Good morning, Sean. How are you doing on this snowy day?
I am doing quite well, sir. We were planned ahead, you know, late last night. I made my trek in here safely. But I'm excited about this interview. I couldn't really rest last night, Mr. Brown, thinking about, you know, this interview with you and how it's going to go. You know, you and I had the pleasure of meeting about a couple of months ago. It was a Christmas party that we had met at during that time. And here we are 2 months later talking about senior issues.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the Senior Zone. And I also just want to thank you for, you know, your continual coverage of issues that are important to our seniors. It's important to their families and raising awareness of programs and initiatives that are available and challenges that seniors and the community face in supporting seniors. So I appreciate the program and I appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Thank you for those kind words, sir. It comes from just a praying grandmother and one that just instilled reverence, you know, in me at a very young age and respect for our elderly. And now that I'm there, I completely understand what she was talking about back in those days. But if you can, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you did before public office.
Sure. Well, before I served as Maryland's lieutenant governor, and I was 8 years as lieutenant governor and focusing on issues like, you know, affordable college and creating jobs associated with the base realignment and closure, expanding early childhood education and more Maryland four-year-olds. Before I was doing that, I was a practicing lawyer. And then before that, I was in the United States Army. I spent 30 years on both active duty and reserve duty. Including 1 year in Iraq, serving with some very patriotic Americans, serving our country overseas. And before that, obviously, you know, I graduated from college. I had the opportunity to graduate from Harvard College. I went to Harvard Law School with President Obama, who back in the day we just called him Barack. And we're really, really proud of what he's done for our country as president.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you and I have something in common. While I'm not an Army guy, I am a retired Air Force guy. So we'll get into those battles between Army and Air Force at another time. But thank you for your service.
Well, we're all part of the same purple team.
Absolutely, and thank you for your service. So tell us and tell our listeners, you know, quickly, why are you running for the United States Congress?
You know, I'm running for Congress because I believe that we have strong communities in Maryland and in the 4th Congressional District. But I think we need to strengthen these communities so that we can strengthen our families. And we'll do that by, you know, protecting the progress and the legacy under President Obama. He's done a great deal over the last 8 years. The Affordable Care Act, which has been a benefit to seniors and Americans across the age spectrum. He's made college more affordable. He saved our economy from the second Great Depression. So I'm going to Congress to protect that, to expand that, and to make sure that it reaches into every community, including those communities that I'll represent in Prince George's and Anne Arundel County.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for that. You know, we know that, you know, aging of our nation's population and that demographic is changing significantly, and we're already in that first wave, that first tsunami. But that wave will challenge, you know, federal entitlement programs such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. But there's less emphasis, less awareness on the shift of how this will increase demand for home and community-based services like those offered through many of the area agencies on aging across the country. With that being said, sir, what do you plan to do if elected to ensure that these services in every community remain funded?
Well, let me say, first of all, that, I mean, a number of studies have been done. I know, you know, I had an opportunity to look at one from AARP that show that home and community-based services are the most cost-effective way to deliver services to our elderly population. And in order for that to work well, we've got to make sure that the funding programs, whether it's, you know, Medicaid, other social funding programs, that the money follows the person, so that we're not simply funding programs in nursing homes, but that where those services can be provided either in the home or a less intensive environment in the community, then we need to be able to make sure that we're funding those as well. But we also have to make sure that we're increasing the number of providers in our communities to care for our, you know, ever-expanding senior and aging population. And that's going to require federal officials working with state and local officials, as well as, you know, universities and colleges, to make sure that we are training and educating those providers who are going to care for our seniors in our communities in the years to come.
Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you what's important to me, if we can. I'm going to ask you a question. But, you know, there's a movement across the country and many jurisdictions across the country to become an age-friendly designated, you know, state or county or city. Montgomery County has reached that. D.C., District of Columbia, is striving for that by 2017, and I've seen significant progress there. What I would like to see, Mr. Brown, is that the state of Maryland become an age-friendly state. I believe the first of its kind, and that award designated by the World Health Organization. What can you say to that, and just how important is an age-friendly designation, you know, to the state of Maryland? How would that be?
So, look, I think that an age designation, age-friendly designation would mean a lot for Maryland. It would demonstrate that we are providing the services and the supports and the assistance where necessary, the community and the environment to support an aging population. But a designation alone means nothing unless you've earned it. And in order to earn it, we need to make sure that in Maryland we've got a transportation system that addresses the needs of aging, that we have affordable housing options that address the needs of the aging, that, as we mentioned just previously, that we've got the home and community-based services that address the needs of our aging population. And all of those are what, as a member of Congress, I would be focusing on to make sure that we are working both federal, state, and local government officials with the private and nonprofit sector to deliver those services, those programs, so in fact we can be designated here in Maryland an age-friendly state.
Well, that's together between, you know, you, if elected, and the Senior Zone and many, many other supporters. Let's strive to make Maryland the first age-friendly designated state.
Hear, hear.
All right. So with, you know, the makeup of Congress, you know, it's controlled in both houses, you know, by Republicans. If you are elected next in this upcoming election and with a Republican controlled, you know, Congress, how are you going to fight the most effective fight for Maryland seniors?
Sure. I think the most important thing, certainly one of the most important things that a member of Congress needs to focus on, and it will be my priority, is constituent services. And whether you have a Republican-controlled Congress or a Democratic-controlled Congress, you need a member of Congress who is going to be able to access the services, the funding, and the programs of the federal government that is designed to serve the people. For example, whether it's Republican-controlled or not, I'm going to go down to Washington and make sure I'm fighting for our seniors. And that means the senior who's having difficulty getting the Social Security check that they're now eligible for. It might mean, you know, fighting for the veteran who just came back from Afghanistan and is having difficulty getting a disability rating from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. It could mean the small business owner who wants to open up their doors, but they're waiting for that small business loan to come through, and there seems to be a problem. Or it could be a college student eligible for a Pell Grant. They're about to show up on campus to start class, but their Pell Grant hasn't arrived. So there are a lot of ways that a member of Congress can be effective on behalf of the community, and it all boils down to a commitment to constituent services. When I was in the Maryland General Assembly for 8 years, and again as Lieutenant Governor, I've been able to develop a sense of how you deliver those services on behalf of your constituents, how you build a team. So regardless of the composition of Congress, as a member of Congress, I'm going to go to Washington to make sure that I'm providing services to my constituents back home.
Gotcha. So let's talk about some of the main issues, more specific issues affecting seniors and at the federal level, assuming that you get there in this next election. And if you can, let's talk about Social Security and Medicare. Why is the fight to protect and expand Social Security and Medicare so important for our Maryland seniors and future generations to understand? Why is that fight so important?
Well, I mean, look, Social Security and Medicare were programs designed to provide security and stability, predictability, as we all age. And in the case of Social Security, it's income security. In the case of Medicare, it's health care security. So that was a commitment and a promise that America made to seniors when those programs were created. And it's a commitment that we need to keep, not only for our current seniors, but as you mentioned in the question, for future generations. And it's been a solid program, and we need to make sure we're resisting every effort to curtail, to cut, to roll back those two important programs.
And with that being said, you know, how will you get Republicans and many Democrats to give up on that idea of the only way to fix Social Security is to cut Social Security?
You know, that's wrongheadedness. The way that we fix Social Security is by protecting it, by making sure that we don't raid the Social Security Trust Fund for ongoing operations. We don't privatize it. Imagine if we had privatized, as the Republicans would like to do, Social Security. Look at the ups and downs, mostly downed as of late in the stock market. That would have been a disaster. So we need to make sure we don't raid it, we don't privatize it, and I certainly oppose any effort to increase the retirement age. People have worked long and hard. They're relying on a retirement age that has been set years ago, and I don't think we should be raising the retirement age, and which would essentially be pulling the rug out under many, many people who are going to be relying on Social Security.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that, you know, shortly, about privatizing and changing the retirement age. But since you've already just, you know, brought it up, you know, Paul Ryan, you know, the current, you know, Speaker of the House, you know, years ago, and it always comes up. You hear it from time to time. You know, they still talk about privatizing, you know, Social Security and Medicare. Looking into your crystal ball down the road a little bit, do you anticipate that environment to still be the same, you know, in the next Congress?
Well, I do believe that Republicans will continue to advocate for privatizing Social Security as well as Medicare. And there's been an effort, I know, even, you know, many who are running on the Republican side for president are talking about creating Medicare as a voucher program. I think that is just the first step in reducing Medicare. So I would oppose that. I would oppose the privatization of Social Security, and I would certainly oppose privatizing Medicare or any effort to convert it to a voucher program.
Yeah. For only the third time this past September, Social Security recipients, they didn't receive a cost of living adjustment, you know, in their monthly benefits for 2016. So they're currently living in 2016 without that, you know, that cost of living in, adjustment. You know, when you're in office as a representative of a District 4 there, how will you ensure that the cost of living adjustment, how that is computed, so that it can account for, you know, other costs that are not factored into it, such as, you know, health care costs, prescription drugs, because it dropped last year. And usually when the cost of living adjustment or the consumer price index drops, we should kind of feel some relief. But seniors in that demographic, they usually don't feel relief when it's a drop that small. If I know I'm rambling a little bit here, Mr. Brown, but do you understand what I'm saying? The cost of living is tied.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. For, you know, a few things. First of all, I would support measures just like the bill that was introduced by Tammy Duckworth. It was supported by members of Congress like Congressman Ellison, that would provide a one-time benefit to both Social Security and VA beneficiaries to account for the fact that they did not receive COLAs for a number of years, I think 3 years now as of late. So number one, I would support that bill. But number two, and I think more long term, the cost of living adjustment formula that is currently applied to Social Security, it's the wrong formula. Right now, the COLA is based on the consumer price index for urban wage earners and clerical workers. But that's not really the basket of goods and services that our seniors rely on in their day-to-day. And what I would support is the COLA being based on the consumer price index for the elderly. And that index takes into consideration the types of services, the types of programs, the types of expenses that are more typical of a senior or aging population. So if you're going to have a COLA for Social Security, have it based on a CPI that more accurately reflects the beneficiaries of Social Security. So I would certainly support that as well. And that's something we need to do in the short term, and that will have both short-term and long-term benefits for seniors.
Gotcha. I played this game with the young lady that you're seeking to replace, Ms. Donna Edwards, some time ago, and I called it my for or against game. So let's do that if you can. Play this game with me, and we're going to stick with the subject of Medicare. So for or against, just tell our listeners quickly, are you for or against changing the way Medicare pays its benefits?
And before we do this game, let's remind your listeners that Donna Edwards is running for the U.S. Senate.
Yes.
So I'm not running against her. It's an open seat. So let's start by reminding your listeners of that. So, okay, what are we for or against? What is the first one?
For or against changing the way Medicare pays for benefits.
Well, look, first of all, let's just take a step back and say that in terms of Medicare and the way it pays its benefits, the overarching goal needs to be to maximize benefits to the beneficiary and minimize the costs. And I think that I believe firmly that we can do this if we make sure that, you know, the wealthiest Americans and the largest corporations are paying their fair share of taxes. And when they do, then we can support a robust Medicare system. So now let's go through the for or against.
Before against
the way the Medicare pays for benefits.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would want to see Medicare change its benefits in a way that reduces costs for seniors. So I would support that change in Medicare.
Gotcha. Now, I think I already know your next response to this one: raising the Medicare eligibility age from 65 to 67.
I'm against that.
Against that, raising the Medicare payroll tax.
Right, and I'm sure your listeners are informed, so they understand
yes.
what that means. Right now, when you know a taxpayer who earns over $118,500, they do not pay Medicare payroll taxes above that. So the question is, should they? And I think that they should. I think that the wealthiest individuals in this country should contribute and support their fair share for Medicare as well as Social Security. So I would support raising that that cap.
Gotcha. And one last question here: raising the Medicare premiums for higher income people.
I think that if we raise the Medicare payroll tax, which we just talked about and I support, mm-hmm. I think we ought to measure the benefit and the impact of that before we begin looking at the premiums on Medicare. I want to do kind of a 1-2 step. Let's first look at raising the cap on the Medicare payroll tax, and then let's see what that does for Medicare before we begin looking at the premiums.
Gotcha. You know, Mr. Brown, we're now in our fourth year here on the Senior Zone, and we've grown from a 30-minute show to, in my opinion, you know, now a forum of connection and inspiring possibilities for older adults seeking good and useful information. And I've maintained a list, my top 10 issues that face, you know, seniors today. And I'll just run down them real quick, but we'll talk about a few of them. Those top 10, the Senior Zone's top 10, healthcare, prescription, drug costs, disease management, physical aging, physical assistance, financial security, loneliness, financial predators, abuse and neglect, transportation, and changing the social climate. Let's talk about prescription drugs, because that is so important to the elderly population. What can we do? What can you do to reduce unaffordable prescription drug prices that burden our seniors each and every day?
Well, let me start by saying that the Affordable Care Act made some progress in that area in terms of narrowing or attempting to close mm-hmm. the donut hole in the Medicare Part D prescription drug program. A few things that I would do. One is I would improve on the Affordable Care Act by limiting the amount that someone would spend monthly on prescription drugs. I know there are a number of dollar figures that are out there, but I would definitely focus on and support measures to limit what someone has to pay monthly for prescription drugs. A few other things that I think we need to do. One is we need to prohibit pharmaceutical companies from spending whatever government grants and assistance they get on advertisement. That just drives up the cost of prescription drugs. And I think that we ought to allow Medicare, and we've been talking a little bit about Medicare in other questions that, we've been talking about, but Medicare, which is a big consumer of pharmaceuticals and prescription drugs, Medicare should be able to negotiate down prices. And it happens in other countries, and it ought to happen in this country. If Medicare were able to negotiate as one large unit against the pharmaceutical companies, we'd be able to negotiate down the drug prices.
I agree. I believe the VA is able to negotiate, whereas another arm of government cannot negotiate with the drug companies.
Right, and there's no sense in tying Medicare's one arm behind its back. Also, I think we need to have stronger, more stringent regulations and enforcement of some pharmaceutical companies that have demonstrated a willingness to engage in price gouging. And we saw recently Keurig Pharmaceuticals did just that. And we need to be able to clamp down on that as well. So those are some of the things that we ought to be doing. Maryland has a lot of biolife and bioscience companies that contribute to the science of healing and discovery. I'd like to certainly see the large pharmaceutical companies investing more in our small life science companies so that we can expand the horizon on the cures for disease and illness that exist not only in our aging population, but the population at large. So I would also support measures and incentives for pharmaceutical companies to spend less on advertising and more on research and development.
Gotcha. And for the sake of time, Mr. Brown, I have two questions, one from one of our listeners. But the first question is, last week I had the CEO and president of the National Association of Area Agencies on Aging. She was here, Ms. Sandy Markwood. She was here last week. And she revealed that the number one concern for seniors is transportation, which was a little surprise to me, but I understood. What's going to be your position on securing and expanding public and private transportation opportunities for Maryland seniors?
And, you know, it's not a surprise to me that came up in a previous show. I've knocked on thousands of doors in the 4th District in the summer through the fall. And as I speak with seniors, when I speak with caregivers at home, I hear that as well, transportation. And there, I think there are a number of things that we need to do. I'm glad that we have a new general manager at Metro. We need to expand Metro access. As Lieutenant Governor, I worked with Governor O'Malley. We rebalanced the Transportation Trust Fund in favor of greater investments in mass transit and public transit so that we can support, you know, expanded bus lines, bus routes, and the frequency in which buses, travel those routes. It supports projects like the Purple Line, which is a huge public transit project. But I think we also need to do things like encourage greater partnerships with private transportation services like taxis and Uber and expand Medicare reimbursement to include, for example, transportation costs to go to a doctor or a medical provider. So those are some of the things I think that we can do to address the transportation challenges that our seniors face.
Yeah, and I totally agree that more work certainly needs to be done. A lot has been done, but certainly more needs to be done. Last question. This comes from one of our listeners. As caregivers are pulled away from their jobs to provide care for their loved ones, would you consider and advocate for an expanded tax break for caregivers?
Yes, I would, because caregivers are, number one, often they're family. And who better to care for a senior than a family member? But we also want to make sure that we're not putting the kind of stress and strain on a caregiver that prevents them from providing that quality care. And I think tax credits and other tax incentives do that nicely. So I would support tax credits for caregivers, absolutely.
Certainly. Well, thank you so very much. Time has flown. I should have allocated more time with you, Mr. Brown, but I may have to have you back on the show to further expand this conversation down the road a bit. Lastly, what are you seeing out there with respect to seniors? What are you hearing from voters out there on the campaign trail? And then tie that in with your last remarks.
Sure. Look, the number one issue that I'm hearing among seniors, and I'm actually hearing it among the larger population, is Social Security and Medicare. And to protect Social Security and Medicare, to prevent the privatization of it, to prevent, you know, raising the retirement age, reducing the benefits, it's part of that larger effort for people to retire in dignity and not in insecurity. So that's a huge issue. I'm hearing a lot about affordable housing. I wish we had an opportunity to talk about that during the program. I think we need to expand the low-income housing tax credit program. We've used it successfully in Maryland. I'd like to see us expand that for not only affordable housing, but for also for assisted living facilities, because that's a very hot issue for voters. And I've been in a conversation with voters about the things that we can do to address that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wish we could have had more. And you touched right on something that's becoming more near and dear to my heart. And that is, you know, folks having, you already know this, having to spend down in order to qualify for Medicaid when those want to live in, for those that want to live in, you know, these assisted living communities. And the cost is just outside of their reach, and they don't really want to spend down just to qualify. So that's another discussion, and I'm sure you'll be working on that for our Maryland seniors, you know, if elected. Mr. Brown, I want to thank you for coming on to the Senior Zone. I certainly have to have you back at another time, but thank you so very much.
Thank you, Sean.
Take care and have a blessed day.
You too.
This next break is brought to you by our good friends over at Right at Home. Still to come, Senior Spotlight and announcements in about 5 minutes. Here is How Great Thou Are by Jamie Reed. Thank you.
right at home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent.
And every right-at-home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience. That's 301-255-0066.
Good morning. We are back, and it is the Super Senior of the Week time. The Super Senior of the Week is a recognition by the Senior Zone of an exceptional older adult doing extraordinary things in his or her life and within the local community in spite of their age. So in today's Super Senior, we highlight a remarkable woman who lives each day with intention and to the fullest and has been doing so after the age of 50 for nearly 30 years. Regrettably, I must say she is not able or was not able to call in today. I told her I am proceeding anyway. I'm talking about a lady named Miss Ernestine Shepherd. At 79 years old, this Baltimore grandmother is the Guinness World Records oldest female bodybuilder. You got to check her out. 20 years or so ago, she was a pudgy, middle-aged woman who hated it, you know, what she saw in the dressing room or in the mirror, and she decided to do something about it. She, at the time, thought, she said she was too prissy to exercise, and she didn't want to mess up her hair. You know what I'm talking about. Didn't want to mess up her fingernails. But at a point in her life, she decided to make a change, and boy, did she do it. She said her health trumped everything else, and she decided to hit the gym, and she made this transformation. I mean, she has more abs than I have abs. I haven't seen mine in a while. You can see all six of hers today. But she said she started her transformation by starting slow. She wasn't concerned about getting those ripped muscles overnight. She just wanted to start. And that's what it's all about, starting. She then increased her workout incrementally as she saw some improvements. And that was it. From that point on, it was over. She then decided to start thinking big about becoming a female bodybuilder and competing at that point. She says she contributes, her success to eating smart. Her diet may not be for everybody, but she eats about 1,700 calories a day. That's comprised of boiled eggs and chicken and vegetables and even some liquid egg white drinks that she has every day. But that's been her transformation. I just want to applaud her for what she's doing because she's the oldest female bodybuilder, according to the Guinness Books of World Records. She is doing what I encourage each and one of us over the age of 50 to do, and that is live life with intention and to the fullest. It's not over till it's over. So Miss Ernestine Shepherd, you are the Senior Zone's Senior Super Senior of the Week. I thank you, and I look forward to you coming on the show, and we'll do this again with you when you're able to make it here on the Senior Zone. Thank you so very much. In our news and announcements, the Senior Connection, they're looking for volunteers to drive seniors to medical and other appointments. Their next training session will take place on Wednesday, February 24th at 7 p.m. at the Holiday Park Senior Center in Silver Spring, Maryland. For more information, if you're interested in volunteering here, call them at 301-962-0820. That's 301-962-0820. The D.C. Office on Aging, they are seeking persons age 100 or older to honor at the annual centenarian event to celebrate the district's older residents. So if you know of a centenarian that should be honored, please make sure they get registered with the D.C. Office on Aging. To register, call 202-724-5622, 202-724-5622. Also with the D.C. Office on Aging, their newest program called Safe at Home promotes aging in place for older adults. That's 60 years of age and older, as well as persons living with disabilities, 18 to 59. They are offering up to $10,000. I said $10,000 in home accessibility grants that reduce the risk of falls and reduce barriers that limit your mobility. To get more information on this program and to begin the application process, call 202-638-0050. The Safe at Home program number again is 202-638-0050. Next, in recognition of Macular Degeneration Awareness Month, the National Eye Institute will discuss research initiatives to protect existing sights on Sunday, February 28th from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Sibley Medical Building in Northwest D.C. For more information, go to youreyes.org, O-R-G, youreyes.org, or call 202-234-1010, 202-234-1010. Looking for volunteer opportunities, and I hope you are. Get out your house. Get out those four walls. AARP, they're seeking volunteers age 50 and over to mentor students in the kindergarten through third grade. So if you live in the D.C. area, you can sign up for an ongoing training program by calling AARP at 877-926-8300. 877-926-8300. We are almost through. Each Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., Holy Cross Hospital provides a caregiver support group for adult children caring for aging parents. That's adult children caring for their aging parents. For more information and to register, call Holy Cross Hospital at 301-754-7152. 301-754-7152. It's early, so you can still get your tickets. And I'm going to say get your tickets now because I'm excited always about the Senior Zone's Winter Gala on the Bay, which is Tuesday, March 1st. So you got 4 weeks. Tuesday, March 1st from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Chesapeake Beach Spa and Resort. I promise live entertainment, good food, good dance, and so much more. Invite your friends, call your family members, share this with your coworkers. Tell any and everybody to come on down to the Chesapeake Beach Spa and Resort at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, March 1st, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. I promise a surefire good time. It's open to the public. For tickets, call 202-351-7053. 202-351-7053. To have your event or announcement mentioned here on the Senior Zone, or to share your thoughts about today's show or recommendations for future broadcasts, call us at 800-214-1984 or check us out at theseniorzone.com. Be sure to join us next Monday here on the Senior Zone, where our guest will be the former Maryland Lieutenant Governor, Anthony Brown. Yes, Anthony Brown, former Lieutenant Maryland Governor. Until next time, have an intentionally blessed week.
Be sure to join us on our next broadcast.
Until then,
live simply,
love generously,
care deeply,
speak kindly,
and leave the rest to God. Have a wonderful week, and God willing, the Senior Zone will be here for another informative and entertaining hour next Monday morning at 10 a.m.